Thankful to be here in freshman meeting again. I did not intend to be here, as many have heard, but the Lord worked it out. First, before I get into what the Lord's given us, want to testify. We've heard some very good messages in this meeting. Have been to the help of our souls, and we don't know when the enemy is going to attack us and attempt to try to sour the ground that we've gained. And I'm going to tell a brief story. I'm not going to go into details for various reasons. But on Thursday night, as I was traveling home, I got a group message in a group chat from my coworkers that one of my female partners from the academy had gotten assaulted that night. She was kicked in the face by an inmate a couple of times. And as I was driving home, I got angry. And it was just, because this is somebody that I'm friends with. We've traveled together. We hung out together in our group there at the academy. And so I was feeling some type of way on my way home. Friday, I went to work. I worked some overtime, and I walked into the building that I'm a regular in, and I saw a few things that looked different in my building.
Yes.
A particular inmate that I've dealt with, he has told me that he has recently given his heart to the Lord, and he has asked me questions about the Bible and different things, and I've tried to work with him and deal with him, and he seems to really be making some strides. I noticed that his cell went from the second tier down to the first tier.
Yes.
And it looked like he was on suicide. Anyway, I don't want to go into too many details for various reasons, but I noticed some changes. So I went to my computer and I looked up his name and I started reading what happened. I saw, he had a staff assault the day before.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't dawn on me. So as I'm reading it, I'm starting to recognize some of the words.
Mm-hmm.
So I just go straight to the bottom to see who was the author of this write-up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my friend. And I got angry all over again. And my blood started boiling because this is somebody that I've dealt with, the inmate. And I knew I was going to have a problem when I went to my building. I was having a problem with me and the Lord. We were fighting against flesh.
Uh-huh.
You know, we heard a message the other night by the truth.
Yeah.
And the minister said that there will come a point in time where you're going to have to decide if you're going to buy some more truth or if you're going to throw it all away and do what you want.
Yeah.
You know, I had some, I believe, justified emotions here. As a man, to kick a female, that was, first of all, a no-no. But I was having some anger problems and I was praying for myself because I knew that I was going to have to deal with this guy. It came time where I had to talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I let him know right off the bat.
Yes.
He was still talking about it vulgarly. I let him know that that was one of my good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he was thinking that people were going to retaliate against him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm new to the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to try to guess how they would have handled that. That is not my business. But I knew how I was going to handle it. Or at least I knew how I wanted to. And as I was talking to him, the thoughts of, I don't even deal with you. You know what? Forget you. I'm only going to give you what the state requires me. Don't talk to me. Don't ask me nothing. But the Lord blessed. I let him know. Yes, I was upset, disappointed in him for his behavior and what happened. But ultimately, I told him, I said, I'm a Christian before I'm a correctional officer.
Yes, you are.
Responsibility to God to treat you as you should be treated.
Yes.
And it went into a whole lot of details. That's actually why I'm off today, because yesterday was such a hectic day. I decided to do what I had been advised to do and take a day or two off. So I thank the Lord for the privilege to be here. But, you know, it is a wonderful feeling when we have a test.
Yes.
And we pass.
Amen. Yeah.
And it's a wonderful feeling when we could kind of ha-ha the enemy. You thought you were going to use this to your advantage to get a hold of something. You know, Brother Paul would make the statement time and time again. You know, sometimes it might feel like our salvation is so little. It's so, you know, it's hard to hold on to it. But you know, if it weren't worth something, he would leave us alone. So I have come to the conclusion that as long as he is still fighting me, as long as he is still trying to kick me, I got something that's valuable. Something that's going to turn forth as pure gold. So thank the Lord for that. You know, well, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about taking heed. I looked up a definition, because this is the Fresno Revival. I've been coming to it for a very long time. And it says, just a definition from Oxford says, an improvement in the condition or strength of something. And we want to improve our conditions with the Lord. You know, we want to make sure that our life is aligning with what is pleasing to God.
Yes.
We have heard it said, the Lord is coming back soon.
He is.
And I think I mentioned it the other night, if not for the entire world, for us individually, because we're aging.
Yes.
Even myself, believe it or not. I'd like to not, but we're all aging and we're moving forward in time, and eventually time is going to wind down.
That's right.
But you know, we don't know exactly when we're going to leave this world. Therefore, it behooves us to do our best to make sure that we're right with the Lord.
Amen.
Because at any time he could come, and in any time, if we're not living our life to where it's pleasing with him, we'll hear those dreaded words, depart from me, I don't know you. It's not going to matter how many times I testified in service. It's not going to matter how many times I exhorted or sang or did it, whatever we've done for the Lord. It's going to matter how you are when you are found. The other night we heard a message about be found sleeping.
No, there we go.
So let's turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and we'll read 1 through 10. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
Yes.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, Give diligence to make your calling and election sure.
Yes.
For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
Amen.
Twice in that passage, two words stuck out.
Mm-hmm.
Diligence.
That's right.
Which means to make effort, be prompt, earnest, and study. We have to be diligent in this race as we're running for the Lord.
That's right.
There is a cause for us to be careful to make sure that we stay on track.
Amen.
That we don't divvy off from the way that God has set up for us.
That's right.
I believe the scripture in Isaiah says, this is the way, walk ye in it. We have to make sure that we're careful to make sure we're staying the course. Another passage says, broad is the way, but there is a narrow road.
There is.
Straight is the way and narrow is the road.
Yes.
Kind of getting that mixed up in my mind, but there is a road that we are to go down.
That's it.
But in order to stay on it, it's narrow, which means there's not much room for us to try to step off to the sides. We have to be careful to make sure that we are following after the God has designed for us.
Yes.
Because heaven is the goal. Heaven is the goal. I made mention of my friend that was placed on hospice. And I made the statement to her. I said, yeah, it'll be hard for us to see you pass on, 28 years old. But I understand. Heaven is our goal.
That's right.
That's what we're striving for. No matter what age we get there, that is the goal of the Christian.
Yes.
But there's going to be an effort of diligence, an effort of carefulness on our part to make sure we obtain that goal.
Yeah.
We must be careful that the enemy does not find any sort of inroad into our life. There's many scriptures that talk about being careful about our mind, being careful about what we allow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was going to say this part, but we've heard it talked about all my teenage years. I've heard it, and I used to hate hearing it. I got annoyed every time I heard about it. But as I'm getting older and growing in the Lord, I'm starting to see why the warning was given. Social media.
Yeah.
Have to be careful about the things that allows to creep in.
Yeah.
What are we going to allow to sow seeds into our life?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, because anything you're looking at, it's growing. If something is planted in that, something is going to grow and fester. And if we're not careful, I can't remember, Brother Paul mentioned it this last time, but he was talking about weeds and how they can grow up and how they'll choke out.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not careful,
mm-hmm.
if we're not giving diligence to making sure where we stand with God is clear, we're going to be deceased.
That's right.
But he tells us that, one, his divine power, verse 3, has given unto us all things that pertain to what? Godliness, unto life, everything unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us. We didn't call ourselves. He called us. And so he's going to give us every single tool that is needful for us to be diligent. Every tool that is needful for us to make it from point A, earth, to point B, heaven.
That's right.
But we have to be careful to make sure we're using the tools that he's given. That we're not going out and trying to find some other tools to help us. This word of God, she mentioned, is so important. This is one of the main tools in our arsenal. But in diligence, we have to use it. And you have to be proficient in knowing how to use what he has for us. He's given us answers.
Yes.
I think I mentioned here before, when I was in the academy, we had, every so often we had some tests that we had to take. And the way that the work was shown was that they had what they call learning objectives, and the learning objectives would tell you what we're trying to learn, and then underneath it have the bullet points of everything about that you need to learn. And then you go straight to the test. The question was that learning objective. The answers was every single thing verbatim. We had the tools. We had everything we needed.
Yes.
I remember some. I did fail a module. When I went back and I looked up why I failed, it was like that. I knew exactly which one I failed.
All right.
Okay, just redo that. I knew some. They chose to go out. They chose to party.
Yeah.
Enjoy. We're in law enforcement. We get some benefits. I've heard of some things that people were doing up in Sacramento while we were 13 weeks, and forgetting that they had a family back home, but they were choosing to go out there and do whatever they wanted. And some of them fell out of the program. Now, how long were y'all praying with me about this job? Do you remember?
Years.
2 years. Over 2 years, I was praying and seeking the Lord about this career. Each person there had a minimum of 2 years. The longest person I heard was 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all that time that we were trying to get in this job, mm-hmm. and in a
Yes.
Now they have the opportunity to come back eventually.
Yes.
But when they come, they could have came with me.
Yes.
So their seniority one is going to be lower.
Right, it will be.
And it's going to take them that much longer to get to the pay rate that we're making because of a decision that they made.
That's right.
To not give diligence, not be careful.
That's right.
You know, the difference between that, once we die,
yeah.
there is no option
That's right.
to come
That's
back
right. oh
and try this over.
Right.
There is no, I know we know this, there's no purgatory for us to go to.
No.
We the saints, after somebody passes, we're going to support the family in prayer. We're going to probably help. But after all that is said and done, and you're in the grave, we're not going to kneel around no altar and start trying to pray you to go to heaven. The end is, the scripture says, after death, the judgment. I can't do nothing for you any longer. So behooves us, knowing what we know.
Yes.
To consider
Amen.
Now.
Yes.
He's given us all the answers
yes,
to godliness.
Yes, it is.
Godliness.
Yes,
godliness.
Yes.
You know, I cannot be godly in my own strength.
No.
That is something that comes from God and God alone.
That's right.
Because in my strength, yesterday at work, the outcome would have been different.
Yeah.
Because I still have to battle with the flesh.
That's right.
I still have to battle with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Donnie has told us before, Satan, we're not strong enough to fight against Satan ourselves.
No,
he's been around a lot longer than us. His tools are far greater than anything that I can fight in what my short 20 years of life. I can't fight him on my own.
That's right.
But there's one.
Oh yes, I know.
There is one
Amen.
That can give us the tools.
Yes.
There is one that can give us the power and one that can give us the victory
Amen.
To fight against Satan.
Yes.
Giving all diligence. One thing that comes with this taking heed, making sure our calling and election is sure. Right. The scripture says here multiple times,
yes.
Faith.
All right.
A trust.
Yes.
A knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And a dependence upon God.
Thank the Lord.
To help us.
Amen.
As we navigate through this.
Oh, yes.
1 Peter 5 and 8. Quote this one quite often. But this tells you why.
Yes.
We need to take heed.
Amen.
Be sober.
Yes.
Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil,
all right,
as a roaring lion,
yes,
walketh about,
yes,
seeking whom he may devour.
That's right.
That's what he's trying to do to us.
Yes, he is.
But if we don't take heed, if we don't watch,
mm-hmm,
we aren't careful,
mm-hmm,
he's going to slip in there.
Yes, he will.
That lion, he's seeking out his prey. I was watching some nature videos the other day. It wasn't a lion, it was actually a tiger. Similar in some aspects. But I was watching as the animal that he was going for was unknowingly drinking their water.
Yes.
Going along about their way. And he's slowly creeping. Slowly creeping. And nature helps this beast.
Yes.
Because of the color of the grass and all the stuff around, he's able to blend in and he just slowly creeps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the color of the world helps the enemy,
yes,
to camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
That way he could slowly creep. Slowly creep. And if we're not careful, he's going to creep and he's going to be right near us. And when he roars, we're going to be startled. We're going to be thrown off our, we're not going to know what in the world is going on.
That's right.
And he's going to attack.
Yes, he will.
Because we weren't taking heed.
That's right.
We weren't being diligent.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't being vigilant as the scripture tells us to be.
That's right. Lord help.
You know, I've heard people say, and we've all heard it,
mm-hmm,
it don't take all that.
Oh,
you don't have to do all those things. What does the Bible say?
Right, yeah, right.
Be diligent.
Yes.
Be vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
Take heed.
Right.
Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Do these sound like words that we could just do whatever we want? Where we could just walk around nonchalant, not worrying about anything? Or do these words sound like we need to be careful? We need to be watchful.
Oh, yes, right.
Because there is somebody coming up behind us that is on the prowl.
That's right. Yes.
I work in prison.
Yeah. All right.
I work around. I was training at the prison, because after 13 weeks in Northern California, I had a 15-day training at the prison.
Mm-hmm.
So for 3 weeks, I had a sergeant that was over me that was pairing us with officers,
mm-hmm,
that had been there for a while, and they would kind of show us the ropes. Now, this is a new program that the state put in, and my class was actually the first that got this privilege. Every other officer, there were some that were against our program because they said, well, that's not how we had to learn. They just threw us the keys and said, figure it out, and walked off.
Mm-hmm.
But thank the Lord it wasn't that way with us. We had this program. But I remember one day I was standing on the podium and maybe about this far to the edge of that banister.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing there, or if not a little closer, I'm standing there talking to this guy who is a leader for a gang.
Yes.
A murderer.
Mm-hmm.
He's done some horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
And at any moment, he doesn't have cuffs on.
Mm-hmm.
At any moment, if he really wanted to, he could have,
mm-hmm,
done something.
That's right.
You know, they teach us, mm-hmm, that one of the things that in our profession to look to monitor, to be,
mm-hmm,
cognizant of,
yes,
is their hands.
Right.
Look at their hands. Pay attention to their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to when I'm escorting someone. If their muscles start tensing up, you better,
right,
be watchful.
Yes.
These are tips for us to know how to be safe.
That's right.
To make sure that we have a saying in the prison, we want to go home with as many holes as we came in here with. To make sure that I'm protected.
Yes.
The Bible in the same is giving us the things that we need.
That's right.
In order to make it out of this life.
Yes.
Safe.
That's right.
To make it out clear before God. But we have to put forth the effort.
Yes.
Amen.
The Lord has told us what to do.
Yes, he has.
Now it's on us to do what the Lord has told us to do.
Amen.
Taking heed, there's two different passages. Let's turn over to Songs of Solomon 2:15. And this is something we quite hear. Maybe a scripture we all know and have heard.
What scripture is that, brother?
Songs of Solomon 2:15. Mm-hmm. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. For our vines have tender grapes. Our vines have something that is desirable. Mm-hmm. But there are some little foxes that want to come in and spoil these vines.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful of those
little things.
Yes. That can creep into our life.
Yes.
Little things that will destroy us.
Yes.
Another scripture in conjunction with this, Proverbs 24th chapter, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful.
Right.
And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Mm-hmm. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone walls thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction.
Right.
Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man.
Yes.
Now, I know this is the second time we've heard this scripture in this meeting, at least. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a little bit of a warning here for us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Little things. It don't matter.
Oh, yes.
It don't take all that.
Lord, no.
If that is truly the case, then allow me a little pebble in your shoe, mm-hmm. and you walk around.
That's right.
Just a small one. You know, we've all got that when walking and somehow a pebble winds its way up in our shoe, and it just feels so painful. Like,
yes.
Oh, that has to be the biggest thing I've ever seen before. Let me
take it out.
Some little specks of a rock fall out. Mm-hmm. Causes discomfort.
Yes, it does.
It causes some pain. We want to take care of it because that little thing mattered in that instance.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
Just like the little things in our life that can creep in.
Oh, yes, they matter.
If we're not careful,
that's fine.
If we're not taking heed,
mm-hmm.
we want to go to heaven.
Yes, amen.
These altars, there's nothing to be afraid of about them.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to be afraid of about them. To lay those down.
That's right.
To take heed.
Amen.
To make sure that we are where we're supposed to be with the Lord.
Yes.
To be careful.
Yes.
Because we have an adversary.
We do. We do.
We have somebody that is trying to steal everything from us. We have to watch. We have to be careful.
That's so true.
Little things. Social media, as I mentioned. I know in times past, I've gotten myself in trouble because of social media.
Yeah, sure.
Television. We can get ourselves in trouble with these. I know we don't like the, oh, I don't want to hear that. That is, that doesn't matter. But you know, sometimes these little things, while it may seem like it is not harmful, it can open up to other major things.
Yes, 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 yes.
Little building blocks add up.
That's right.
The sands of the sea is made up of a whole little grain of sand.
Yes, it is.
But yet it makes such a huge. These little things are building blocks. And even if there is nothing that is directly written in the Word of God pertaining to whatever little thing in our lives, but if the Lord touches it, that's enough for us to be careful about. Whatever the Lord puts his hands on, whatever little thing in our life we think, well, brother and sister so-and-so there, they do this, they're saved, they're sanctified, we have confidence in their life. Is that the requirement for our lives?
No, no, no.
Later the scripture says, look out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with fear and respect for
God. Oh, yes.
With being very careful, Lord, because I don't want anything in this life to hinder me. I don't want anything to get in the way of me and you. I'm going to be careful, but I see that this thing is starting to cause some little weeds to grow up. And right now, Lord, it doesn't seem like it's a problem, but Lord, I'm coming to you with this thing. Because I want to make it to heaven.
Amen.
Because I have fear and respect of godly reverence for you. So, Lord, I'm coming with this thing. Lord, is there something here that I need to be cognizant of?
Yes.
Is there something here that I need to cut off?
Yes.
He may touch it. He may not. It's up to him. He knows our heart.
Yes, he does.
He knows the intentions of our heart. But no matter how small it might seem, if the Lord touches it, it's a big thing.
Yes, it is.
To do anything contrary is disobedience to God. And now we've opened up to where, okay, he touched this thing, I'm disobeying him here. Now I'm also guilty of disobedience. And next thing you know, it's just a snowball effect. And next thing you know, the harvest passed, the summer's ended, and I'm not saved.
That's right.
We have to be careful about those little things.
Yes,
that's cool. Let's talk briefly about one person, a favorite person of mine, David. We all know what he did.
Oh, yes, we do.
2 Samuel 12, 1 through 7.
Right.
The Lord sent Nathan unto David.
Right.
And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds.
Yes.
But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the man's lamb, the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. and he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity.
Right.
And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hands of Saul.
All right.
We'll stop there. Mm-hmm. We all know David did, what he was guilty of. I don't know the custom of how he was, if it was common for them to bathe the women to, or people to bathe outside like that, but whatever the case was, he looked that way.
Right.
Now, this could have went a different way.
It could have.
If he had taken heed.
That's right.
If he had looked, noted, oh, I got to go this way.
Right.
I don't need to see what's going on over there.
Right.
Let me go about my business.
Yep.
Is that what he did? He looked. Maybe a double take. Admiring and found himself guilty. I taught a Bible study a few weeks ago. We dealt with David. Brother Fari brought out, we were also dealing with the Ten Commandments. Brother Fari brought out, David broke almost all the Ten Commandments throughout this scenario. He lusted after somebody else's companion. He lied, had somebody else killed. He stole. I think there's legitimately the scripture in Exodus says coveting one's house. And I think the next thing it says, or a man's wife. So David was found, he broke a lot of what the Lord had required. But again, if David had taken heed the first time, it might have been different. If we don't take heed, we'll find ourselves in a world of trouble. David indicted himself. Thou art the man. You're the one that's found guilty. Because you didn't take heed. Because you didn't watch. You didn't pray. I think scripture says, lest a little root.
Yes.
A bitterness springing up. I think it says, thereby many be defiled.
Many.
That's true.
If we're not careful to take heed, we can be defiled that way.
Yes.
We'll close. With Psalms 19 and 12. You know, there are many people we could talk about this morning that didn't take heed, that were found guilty of letting a little thing. I mentioned it a few weeks ago as well, Ananias and Sapphira.
Yes.
Solomon,
right?
Seven companions. Saul, Samson, different ones, the children of Israel. You know, a lot of the little things slip up. So many little things that the children of Israel would have rather gone back to bondage in Egypt because they were doubting the power of God. We have to be careful. Psalms 19 and 12. Who can understand his errors?
Right.
Cleanse thou me from secret faults.
Yes, Lord.
We need to be cleansed from everything.
That's yes. Right.
Cleansed within and without.
Yes.
Have nothing. Making sure nothing is standing between us and God
yes.
in the day of judgment.
Yes.
Judgment Day is not going to be the day to attempt to get anything in order.
Right.
Again, you're not going to be able to come back from death and try to redo this again. No. You have one opportunity.
That's right.
I have one opportunity to make sure that I'm taking heed, that I'm being careful, that I'm watching and praying that the enemy, that those little things do not spoil the right fruit that the Lord has given us. May the Lord help us. That's what the revival is for.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. Remind me.
To remind us where we are, to make sure that we're standing clear before God, and that our calling and election is sure. May the Lord help us all to make our calling and election sure. Pray for me.
Amen.